The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashah is Bishalach. When Hashem made Pharaoh, sent the people out of Egypt, so he did not lead them through Eretz Pishti, to the land of the Philistines, even though they were closer. Because if they would confront another nation and there would be war, he was afraid they would return to Israel. And instead he took them in a roundabout way, through the desert and by the Yam Suf, by the Red Sea. And Moshe took out with him the Atmos Yosef, the remains of Yosef. Because Yosef made the people of his generation take an oath. That there will be a time when Hashem will come to redeem you. My remains, my bones with you when you go out. This pasuk that they took out the bones of Yosef with them, it would seem that it is not that important that it should be mentioned right here. Here we're speaking about something of extreme importance. This is the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now Israel went into Egypt and they were there for 210 years. Finally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming and freeing them. And he's taking them out. And right there, the Torah tells us that Moshe took the remains of Yosef with him. He took the remains of Yosef with him because Yosef made the others take an oath. Right? It was important that they should take the remains of Yosef with them. But Yosef made them take an oath. But what is the importance, significance of right here, Sukkim, when we're going out of the time, there is mentioned that the bones of Yosef went out with them. Let's go into this subject. First, we give a little background. In the Gemara in Masechta the Sota, and the Yud Gimel tells us, Tana Rabbon, Vorei kama chavivus mitzvos al Moshe Rabbeinu. Come and see how dear a mitzvah was to Moshe Rabbeinu. Called Israel at this time all of Israel were occupied gathering wealth, because when they left Egypt they left with the wealth of Egypt, so they were busy gathering their fortunes. The nation instead was looking for Yosef. The Torah tells us in Mishnah Shneimar Melech Seir, one who is wise, he would look for mitzvahs. He won't look for physical wealth, but rather he'll look for mitzvahs. And this is what Moshe was doing. Rather than looking for the physical wealth of Egypt, he went to fulfill a mitzvah. The mitzvah that they had promised to take Yosef with them. How the nation know that Yosef was buried, that Yosef was buried? This is many, many years later. Omru, Serach bas Osher mishtayer meisadlo. Serach, the daughter of Osher, was one who came down with the original 70, came with Yaakov, came with Jacob into Egypt. And she was still living, so she was very old. The mother tells us, Yocheved, who was the daughter of Levi, who was the mother of Osher, she was born just as they came into Egypt, just before coming into Egypt. And they were in Egypt a total of 210 years. Moshe was 80 years old at this time, so obviously 80 years old and still before Pharaoh. This means that she was 130, Yocheved was 130 when she gave birth to Moshe. I don't know if she's still living at this point, but she would have been 210 years old. Serach was born even before the daughter of Moshe. So Serach was more than 210 years old. She was still living. She remained from the original generation. Halach Moshe Atzlo, Moshe went to her. Omar Lohan, he said to her, Kumatu there, the Das Hekin Yoshin Kohen, do you know what Yosef is there? He thought that since she was from the original generation, she would remember where Yosef was buried. Yosef was the king. And evidently it wasn't too easy to find where he was buried, and we'll see even more of that. There are other reasons why it was difficult. On Shabbos we mentioned that Yosef's prisons was another reason why Moshe went to Serach. Because Chazal tell us that several places in the Torah it says Poko Yivke Deshem. Yaakov told the children that Hashem will be Poko Yivke. Means Hashem will remember you and he will come and redeem you. And the Torah tells us Yosef told the children that Hashem will be Poko Yivko. And Hashem, when he spoke to Moshe by the bush, told him to go and tell the people that I have spoken to you and I'm going to take the people out. He said, go tell them that Poke Jivke, that Hashem will redeem you. So he used a certain language, and it was a double language. And it was given over by the original generation in Egypt, that when the Redeemer comes, how will we know if he's true or not? How will we know if he's genuine or he's on a path? If he will come and say that Hashem appeared to him using this language, Poke Jivke. And when Moshe came, and he did certain wonders, he threw down the staff, or he turned the water to blood. He came to the gate to the elders. So the elders went to Serach, the Chazal tell us. And they said that someone has come, and he said that the time for the Geula, for the redemption, is here. So she said, what did he do? So they said he made wonders. He made wonders that looked like magic. So she said, Ein b'Eisis Mamush, this is not the... Like Jews, we don't get excited over a man. But the other thing, signs are nothing. So they said, he told us, that Hashem will come and redeem us, he will remember us, and he used this language, this phrase. So then she said, Buhu Hagoel. If so, he is the redeemer. She had known from the original generation the secret of what the Goel, the Redeemer, would use. So therefore, Taisha says that Moshe later on found this out. So Moshe thought maybe she would also know the secret where Yosef was buried. So he went to her. So she told him, Omre lei oren shel makas osu de mitzrayim v'kavu v'nivus. Anor kidei shizbor chumemot. She said that the Egyptians made a casket of iron, and they sunk it in the bottom of the Nile River in order that the water should be blessed. Because all of Egypt was irrigated through the Nile River and its channels. There was no rain in it. So it had to depend on the bracha of the Nile River. And when Yosef was king, he brought bracha unto the entire land. They wanted their bracha to remain, so they placed this casket at the bottom of the Nile. Moshe went to the Nile River and he said, Yosef, Yosef, Igiya Eishe Nishbah Kodesh Baruch Hu Shanid Ereskan. He said that the time has come when Kodesh Baruch Hu has said that I'm coming to redeem you. And now the time has come for the fulfillment of the oath that you made us take. If you will show yourself good, if not, then we are free from the oath. Yad Safar Eishe Yosef. So immediately the Oren casket of Yosef. Then the Gemara explains that you shouldn't wonder how steel or iron can float. So we have other precedents for this. This is one opinion. The Nosan Omar, another opinion, the Karbuni Shel Malochim HaYokov. He was buried in the special cemetery that was reserved the kings. Moshe went and he stood in front of the cemetery. But he didn't know where he was there. There were so many there. So again he said, the time has come for Hashem to redeem you and for us to fulfill the shvur. If you will show yourself good, if not, we are keeping the shvur. So the Orem of Yosef started to move forward. And there Moshe recognized that this was the form of Yosef, the casket of Yosef. is a third opinion as to what took place. And this is in the Medrash. You know, in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, at the time the Jews were going out, the Torah tells us that Yechatz Kelev Hashem, that not even a dog barked at them. They went out, so the Lord was destroying the firstborn, they went out. No one tried to stop them. And not even a dog barked. What does it mean, not even a dog barked? So there's a special meaning in this, the Medrash tells us. The Medrash in Parshat Kof, Yud Zayin, tells us, Yesh omen b'seich ha-talturim ha-yukom. Kederek sh'amalochim ikpulim. Some say that he was buried in the palace. That it was the custom to bury kings in a section of the palace. The also Mitzrayim klovim shalzor b'kshotim. And the Egyptians made dogs out of gold with kishu, witchcraft, sorcery. The Egyptians were the masters of sorcery. Acted when Rashi came and he said to do the signs and wonders. At first they were not taken aback. But they said that you're bringing the selling wheat to a country that specializes in wheat. This is a sorcery, is our, this is our, we're experts in this. And it wasn't until the third Makkah that they couldn't duplicate this. Then they realized that it wasn't sorcery. So they make klovim shalzor, they make dogs of gold, b'kshofim, shimyove odom l'shom yen nevchi, v'kelen heile v'chol eiv misayim ha'alav mem yen. And they made it that if anyone would come near this place, so the dogs would bark with such a tremendous noise that you could hear it a 40-day journey away. The reason why they did this is because they did not want Joseph to go out. They didn't want the Jews to go out. And they knew that the Jews had made this oath. And if they won't be able to take Yosef off, they won't go. V'shashkar Mesha. And Mesha silenced the dogs. And this is what it means. L'chol b'nei Yisrael l'yechatz kerem v'shem. This is what it means that no dog barked at any of the people. Then Mesha told Yosef that the time had come. And Yosef showed himself. And then the Gemara tells us. Not the Moshe. Moshe took the casket. He took it next to him. And he took it with him in his care. And all of the years that they were in the Midbar, the 40 years that they were in the desert, there were two arenas, two arcs going in front of the people. The Oren of the Shechina, Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Oren of Yosef. Ba'evri Misholin, Emri Martimun Shoshni Arenes Halol. And when travelers would meet them, they would ask, Klal Yisrael, what are the two Arenes? So they would answer, Echad Shal Meis Ve'echad Shal Shkina. One is of a dead person, and one is of the Shkina, Kodesh Baruch Hu, the tablets that they received in Har Sinai. So they would ask, Bechima Darki Shal Meis La'alehim Ashkina. What does it mean that a dead person travels right together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is something which is conflicting. Omru Kayim Zer Kol Masha Kosu Bezer. This one fulfilled everything which is written in the other order. The other order where the Ten Commandments were written, the Torah was written, Yosef fulfilled all of this. And then Rashi brings how Yosef had fulfilled all of the Ten Commandments and all of the Torah of Egypt, even before the Torah was given. There is a special significance, as we see here, the taking out of the Atzma Shoshim. And there's a special significance as to why the Torah tells us of this right now, as we get to the Yetzias Mitzrayim and going out of Egypt. Yaakov Avinu, Jacob, when he came down to Egypt, we find that he was never enslaved by Egypt. And the parishes by the key. Rashi brings from the Chazal the reason why parishes by the key is stuma. There is no indentation. in that parsha is because when Yosef died, when Yaakov died, this is when the Tzoras of the Shibu began. From the parsha is through Stuma, because even Shalifer Yaakov Levino, Mistimo, and Nehem Levino, Shal Yisrael, the Tzoras Hashibu. Yaakov died, then the Tzoras began. But as long as Yaakov lived, there were only good times in Egypt. No Tzoras Hashibu started. Why was this? Because of the greatness of Yaakov. It was impossible for Egypt to have any control or any power over Yaakov. Madrega, his stature was too high. And no nation could rule him. Therefore, as long as Yaakov lived, there were no Tzoras. Then we find, even though after Yaakov died, the Tzoras began, we find later in Parsha Shemos, the Torah tells us, Vayomas Yosef b'chol echov b'chol adorahu, Yosef died, and all of his brethren, and the entire generation, Vayokom melech hadosh al Mitzrayim, and a new king rose up, Asher yodesh Yosef, who did not know Yosef, Vayomer el Amoy, and he's told his nation, Hinei Amnei Yisrael Rav Otsu Mimenu, that the children of Israel, they are becoming stronger than us, Hovin Yishat Molei. Let us make ourselves wise, let us be wise to him, and Yirbeh, lest they will multiply and they will be stronger than us. This Torah, which was the beginning of the enslavement, only started after Yosef and all of his brothers died. Ayamas Yosef, Yechol Echo. First Yosef died, and then the brothers, and then it started. And the Chazal tell us a little later, Rashi brings in Parsha Shmos, that the years of Levi are counted. And he's the only brother where the Torah here counts his years. Loma Nina Shneisi Shalevi. Why does the Torah count his years? Because as long as one of the original brothers, Tzav Shvotim, the sons of Yaakov, lived, the enslavement and the bitterness did not come down in its full force. And Levi was Herek Yomim. Levi lived longer than all of the other brethren, all of the other brothers. So the Torah counts for us the years of Levi. Through this we can calculate when the Tzoras began. So we see various levels. As long as Yaakov lived, there was no Tzoras whatsoever. It was good. They had Mikol Tov Eretz Mitzrayim. They had the goodness of the land. Yaakov died, we started the tournament. But still, as long as Yosef lived, then the Tzoras still did not come. When Yosef died, things began to become worse. But still not, they did not reach its peak. They did not reach its peak until all of the brothers died. And that was Levi, who was the oldest, who lived the longest. Then things began to become very bitter. And now tell us at that time Miriam was born. This is why she was called Miriam. Miriam from the word Mar Moror, which means bitter. This was 5 years before Moshe was born. Miriam was 5 years old. Why is it like this? Egypt was unable to rule Yaakov. Yaakov was too mighty. His spirit was too great. And therefore they could have no ruling over him whatsoever. And not only that, we see even more by Yaakov. You see, when Yaakov died, immediately he left Egypt. Yosef and the brothers were able to take Yaakov and Levino out immediately back to Eretz Yisrael. He was buried. Yosef, the Torah tells us, and we spent a few shiurim speaking on this last year. Yosef was the greatest of all of the sons. Like in Parshas Vayeshev, the Torah tells us, Elu told us Yaakov, Yosef. The generations of Yaakov were Yosef. He was the greatest of all of the sons. And the greatness of Yaakov was inherited by Yosef. And the brachas, which Yaakov received from Yitzchak, and Yitzchak received from Abraham, were given to Yosef. Yaakov blessed all of the children. He gave them all brachas. But the word bracha is used only by Yosef. There are several times. The actual brachas which we have received from Yitzchak and Abraham, this he gave to Yosef. So Yosef was of similar stature than Yaakov. And the Medrash tells us, Kiben Zikuni Mulai, he was the son of the wisdom of Yaakov. All of the Torah that Yaakov had learned, he taught to Yosef. And the Gemara tells us he looked like Yaakov. He resembled him. And everything that happened to Yaakov happened to Yosef. Yaakov was hated by his brother. Yosef was hated by his brothers. Yaakov had to flee. Yosef had to flee. Yaakov had to go into Golus. Yosef had to go into Golus and so forth. So just like Egypt was unable to conquer Yaakov Avinu, in a similar way, Egypt also was not able to conquer Yosef. And this we find. We find that Yosef ruled Egypt. So therefore, Yosef could not have been left in Egypt. If Yosef had been left in Egypt, it would have been impossible for Klal Yisrael to go out. Because there could be no remains of Yosef in Egypt. To the point where Egypt would rule. We'll go even a little further. Yosef led the people out. We find that when it came to go into Egypt, who was the first one that went? It was Yosef. Yosef was sold to Egypt. Then the brothers went out for food. Then when they found Yosef, they brought everyone out. And the Gemara in Shabbos tells us that there was a Gzeira decree that was Baruch Hu told Abraham that your children will be enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. The question was how to bring the children down. So the Gemara tells us that Hashem did not want to bring Yaakov down in shame. So if you have a cow, you can't move him, you take the calf and leave the calf in front of the cow. The cow will follow. So did HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He took Yosef down to Egypt. In this way, he forced Yaakov to go. We see that Yosef led the people into Golus. The Chazal tell us that since Yosef was the one who would inherit the stature of Yaakov, Yaakov was the Reish Yaakov. He was the pivotal force of Klal Yisrael, and Yosef would inherit this. So this means that everything that Yosef would do, the rest would follow. And if we look into this, we find that this is true. Yosef went into Egypt, the rest of the brothers went into Egypt. Yosef went in as a slave, became a slave to Potiphar. The rest went in as slaves. Yosef became a king, and later on was to rule Egypt. We find that the brothers later on would rule Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe would rule Paran. Yosef went and he collected all of the wealth of Egypt. He came to sell it, all of the grains. He would collect all of the wealth of Egypt. And we find that his brothers and his children also would collect all of the wealth of Egypt. It's out there. When they went out of Egypt, they emptied it out. So the going out of Yosef was actually synonymous and linked to the going out of the children. It wasn't that by coincidence the people went out and Yosef went out. Yosef was leading the way so the people could go out. So firstly, Egypt would not be able to retain Yosef, just like they could not retain Yaakov. But secondly, it was a definite fact that Yosef must go out in order that the people should go out. because the cycle was created and led by Yosef. Therefore, the people were following. And we find even more so. You see that Yosef went in front. It says that he went together with the Orem. The Orem of Hashem went in front of the people. It says, Shnei Arenis, they were led with two Arenis, they were led with two, with these two arcs. One was of the Shechina and one was of Yosef. So he led the people up. And there's a Medrash that tells us when they came to the Red Sea, there, Pasuk in Halal says, Bayar ha'om, bayar ha'yom, bayonos. That the sea gazed, it saw something, and it leaped backwards to allow Klal Yisrael to come through. Because they'll tell us in the Medrash, Maro ha'yom bayonos, what did the sea gaze at? What did it see that caused it fearfully to move back? Ra ha'reini shul Yosef. It saw the Orem of Yosef. It saw Yosef coming, it moved aside. It's interesting, it doesn't say it saw the Arena, any other Orem, it saw the Arena shul Yosef. Mitan shebeskus Yosef mitra hayom. Here we learn that it was through the merit of Yosef that the sea was taken. So here again we see that it wasn't merely they were taking Yosef out. Yosef was leading the way, just like Yosef had led the people into the goats, and he led the people to become a free people. He was leading them out also, even though he was already dead. And why is it? Because the spirit must rule over the physical. If there is a strong spirit, then it cannot be ruled by the physical, but it must rule the physical. Strong spirit cannot be enslaved. Israel, Egypt, they were a physical people. Prophet says, prophesies in Egypt, Kipsorim Kipsar Hamon. Their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys. Zera Kizera Susi, their seed is like the seed of horses. They were a very low physical people. Great impurities, idolatry, incest, adultery, sorcery, all types of tumors. And this was the Egyptian people. Physical cannot rule over a true spirit. The spirit of Klal Yisrael was too strong in order that it should be shackled by Mitzrayim, by Egypt. So it grew, and it grew to the point where eventually it burst forth and it ruled. This power was given to Klal Yisrael from Yosef. Because Yosef also came down as a slave. The Egyptians tried to rule him. But under any circumstances, they could not rule him. Whether he was a slave, or a marriage, or a young man, or an Indian, or a Hebrew that was looked down upon, whether he was in the house of Potiphar, or whether he was in the dungeon, or whether he was in the great halls of royalty, whether he became Mishnah the Melech Viceroy to the mightiest king, or whether he became the wealthiest person in the world, Egypt could not rule him and could not change his spirit. He remained Yosef Hatzad. Yaakov came down, he saw Yosef, so there the Torah tells us, Yosef Oyev Yitzrayim, the same Yosef learned Torah by Yaakov Avinu in his house in Eretz Yisrael, was the same Yosef that withstood all of these trials and challenges in Egypt. He didn't change. His spirit was too great, it was unbending. And from there he rose up to be a king. And to be a king is not merely a position. A king means to rule. And before a person can be a king over someone else, he must be a king over himself first. Who is the mighty person? Amayshul Berufa, he who rules himself. He who rules himself that rule others. He who is enslaved to himself will be enslaved to others. Yosef became the tzaddik, perfect, righteous person. Perfect, righteous person is the person who perfectly rules over himself. Such a spirit could not be limited. Therefore, rule over Egypt. Especially that Egypt was of such a physical nature. And this power he imbued to the children. This was the power of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, Klal Yisrael came to great heights during the years that they were in Egypt, to the point where, in turn, they destroyed Egypt. They were not enslaved to Egypt, they could not be destroyed by Egypt, but they destroyed them. And Yosef led the way. This is why it says that when Hashem took Klal Yisrael out of Egypt, Moshe was interested in finding the Atzmos Yosef, the bones of Yosef, because he must go first. And right there it tells us, Vayikach Moshe's Atzmos Yosef Ima. He took the bones of Yosef with him. He led the way into the sea. At the sea we see even another sign. The fact that the sea stood moved away from Yosef. Here our Chazal tells us this means that not only did Yosef and Klal Yisrael rule Egypt, but they ruled over the world. By Boku Hamayim Kol Mayim Shevayim, the sea split, all of the waters of the world split. Kodesh Baruch Hu split the seas of the world, of the sea, of the Red Sea. By Boku Hamayim tells us the water split, not the sea. All of the waters of the world split. No physical power could stand up before Yosef and Klal Yisrael. This generation was too big. This is what is meant in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, shifting, freedom. But they freed themselves, brought themselves above all limitations of the world. This is the power that will give them freedom. This is why we find in every generation, never has the Jew been conquered. Every generation they stand up against us to destroy us. And somehow, if the fire is extinguished in one place, it lights up again in another place. All of the generations, the spirit of the Jew is not destroyed. Because they have inherited from the door of Mitzrayim, from the generation of Mitzrayim, such heights that where they were paying a shikru, they were paying a, they acquired this freedom forever. That they can never be enslaved to another nation. And yet we do find that they are enslaved, it's only to a physical. But the spirit of Klal Yisrael will never be enslaved. This is the significance of this pasuk here. Another point of the Sefer. Ufara hikri in Pasuk Yud. Ufara hikri by Yisrael and Yisrael as a nation. Farai came close, and the Klal Yisrael came to the sea, so Farai came close. And the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and they saw Egypt was coming down on them, and they feared. You cry to Hashem. So Rashi tells us parahikri, what does that mean? It should say parahikora. It should say parahik came close. Parahikri means that he caused someone else to come close. So what does it mean? So Rashi says he caused himself to come close. Parahikri had so much enthusiasm to go after the Jews that he caused himself to come close. The Medrash tells us different. Medrash says a different interpretation. Maybe says in Kof Aleph Hei, what does it mean? Parahikri, and a shehikri, a shishrael, a tshuva. Paray caused to come close, he caused Israel to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Paray caused Israel to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean? Omer Rebrachia, Yocha HaYisa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Paray Yisrael, Mekut Tzumais, Tzumais U'Tfilas. What Paray did, the fact that Paray pursued Klal Yisrael, this was better for Israel than 100 fast days and 100 prayers. Why? Because since Paray came after them and they had no other way to look, so they looked at a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And they came to Moshe. First they came to Moshe and they said, what have you done to us? Everything that we did to them in Egypt, that we killed their firstborn and we took all of their wealth and everything else, they are going to do that to us now. And they looked all around and they saw that the desert was on one side of them. Wild animals were on the other side of them. The sea was in front of them. They had no place to turn. Even Shiroi Yisrael Shalim Ukofim begin with Lukais, since they saw that they were trapped. Tolu Einehem La'avim Shemishman. They had only one way to turn. Ta'akodesh Baruch Hu. Kai Ta'akodesh Baruch Hu. What did HaKodesh Baruch Hu do? Why did HaKodesh Baruch Hu do this? The Medrash tells us HaKodesh Baruch Hu did this because he was mishaved at Tfilosan. He wanted to hear their cries. L'maha Dovah Deyma, Reish Lakish says an example. The Melech Shoya Bodo Derech, there was a king who was walking along the way and he saw a princess crying because some bandits were chasing her. She said to Vakashomim Ekrat, Yelenim Yara Listim. He said, please save me from these bandits. So the king heard and he saved her. After some days went by, the king wanted to marry this princess. And he wanted very much that she should speak to him. She didn't want to speak to him. So what did the king do? He hired some bandits in order that they should pursue her. And then she will cry. And he will come to rescue her again. And this way she will speak to him. So this is what happened. I did this because I have desire to hear your voice. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. When they were in Egypt and they were enslaved, they looked up to Hashem. It states, immediately Hashem listened to them. And he took them out of Egypt. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to listen to them again. So what did he do? He had Paray chase them. So this is what it means, the Paray Hikri. He caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he caused Klal Yisrael to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here we hear a principle in Tfilah, a principle in Yisurim and difficulty. When things go well for a person, many times a person feels he doesn't need a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So he drifts away. You see, many times the Torah tells us that if a person will become wealthy, but immediately his heart becomes haughty, he holds himself above people, he drifts away from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Things go good for a person. Many times the person doesn't use that, the shame shema, but he drifts away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When a person has difficulties that there are no way, there is no way out of them, and then he's trapped, and he has only one answer. Tola Einayim Lebore, he has to look up at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can't look in any direction, only upwards. And this is better for the person than 100 fast days. Brings him closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Madrega that Klal Yisrael was Tena acquired on the sea when Paray came after them, the greater level that they would have acquired after 100 fast days. This is what is meant Paray Hikri.
So from here we hear it, we can learn a principle in tefillah and a principle in Yisurim and difficulties that come on a person. Let's go to one other point. Posuk Yudal in Perek Yudal Posuk Chothei. Klal Yisrael went, Akadosh Baruch Hu split the sea. Klal Yisrael went into the sea, into the dry land, and then Egypt followed them. Vayosar es Eben Markereso vayinahageu bechedus. As they went into the dry land, because Baruch Hu made all of their chariots become stuck in the mud. And then he broke off the wheels of the chariots by Nahageu Bechedus. The horses were pulling the chariots, Bechedus, with a heaviness. Egypt said that we are Anusa, where Hashem is fighting for Klal Yisrael. Rashi tells us, why did Hashem take off the wheels of the chariots? In order that they should be forced to be dragged on the bottom of the sea. Bahanhogashik paid the cost of him. Because Baruch Hu did this for explicit purpose. He wanted that the Egyptians should be dragged in a heavy manner. The Midah Shemoradu, because in accordance to the measure that they meted out for Klal Yisrael, just like Haran and his servants hardened their hearts against Israel, so here also HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be dragged heavily around on the land. The measure that one deals with, this was the measure that he would be dealt with. Egypt acted in a very heavy manner towards Israel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu acted in a very heavy manner towards Egypt. Then, another Pasuk. Pasuk of Zion. Vayet Moshe al Yodei al Hayam. Moshe lifted his hand over the sea. And Yoshev Hayom Nitnes Beker. When the sea came back towards morning, to its original strength, and Egypt ran to meet the waters. What does it mean that they ran to meet the waters? And Hashem caused the waters, Hashem shook up Egypt in the sea. So Rashi tells us, they were so confused that instead of, when they saw the warm waters falling in, falling on top of them, instead of running away from the waters, they ran into the waters. Now, what is the significance of this? In these two psukim, we can see the, with the great detail, and the exactness of the meat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts the world, you can see the great exactness, great detail, how he conducts the Din and Mishpat, how he judges the people. The Zechta Saita mission tells us on the Chesam of Beis, in accordance to the measure that a person himself gives to others, this is the measure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will use to deal with him. Here it gives an example. What is it doing in Masechta Sotah? Speaking about assaulted. Assaulted is the unloyal wife. The wife is not loyal to her husband. Then there's a whole process that the Torah commands. And the Mishnah, more of those through the detail. But she is punished detail by detail in accordance to her, to the lack of loyalty that she had to her husband. Then the next Mishnah, and Tesam and Beis continues. Shimshin Holakachadino. The Piko no Christianus name. Shimshin, he went after his others. He was misled by many of the girls of the Christian. And after his others. And this led him away. So the Gemara says when it comes to punishment, then it's a death. When it comes to reward, the reward is much greater than the act of the person does. Christ is brings, he says that it says that she waited shor achas, 1 hour. Because it doesn't mean that she waited 1 hour. Why? Because how much more reward is a total bottle give for a person for a specific act with the leader of the country? If the quantity of reward is greater than the act, what, how much more? The taste is brings where it's 1 to 400, 1 to 500. Me the table, Maruba, me the Stronius is on the Hirala. Me the table, Maruba, me the Stronius are Akas Komishmias. But the bottle repays a person 500 times for a good deed that he does. He does a mitzvah, he receives 500 times the amount. That's what it means. When we measure that he'll do, what his boss will do. 500 times. The Tzaddik says that if she waited 1 hour, then her reward should have been 500 hours. And they waited only 7 days, which is less than 500 hours. But it means that, he said, what the Gemara means is a fraction. She waited a fraction of an hour. 500 times of that fraction was 7 days. This is why the camp was commanded to wait for nearly 7 days. And here we see the exact hashgacha, the exact rule of the world when it comes to where he rules the world. Then the Gemara tells us, this is also in Daf Yud Aleph, by Yoka Melechotosh, a new king rose up, and he said, Hova Nishkapsman Bey, let us make ourselves wise against him. No, says, what does it mean against him? It should be against them. Why against him? They weren't worried about Klal Yisrael. They were worried about the Gogel and the Yinah. They knew through their astrologers and their fortune tellers and so forth, they knew that there would be someone rising up from Egypt. And they knew he would come right from Egypt and he would destroy all of Egypt and take Israel out. So that's why they said, let us be wise and let us be calculating against him. They said, by many do not. How can we stop him? We must stop him in a way where the God of Israel will not react against us. If we should say that every child should be burnt in a fire, the Lord will come with a fire. And if he builds the Beit HaMikdash, he will rebuild it with a fire. So they were afraid. If we say that every Jewish child should be filled with the sword, the prophecy, the harvest is called Bosher, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will come with a sword. So he said, let us say every Jewish child should be killed in the sea, in the river. Why? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu has already sworn that he will not bring a flood to the world. The Kodesh Baruch Hu won't be able to pay him back. That was a man called the Tzatmullahi, let us be wise against him. They made two mistakes. What were the two mistakes? First of all, the Hainan was in charge of Kolelem Kulelem Ebi, Avalum Achasimei. But the Lord only swore that he would not bring flood to the entire world, but against one nation to it. Secondly, they made a mistake, because the Lord said he would not bring flood to the world. But he did not say that people would not come into the flood. Therefore, they were destroyed with water. Since they wanted to destroy the machines of Israel, Israel, by drowning them, they were destroyed with water. All of the remaining Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea. And how did they drown? It says, this is what it says, from Mitzrayim, nothing we crossed them. Egypt went to meet the water. But the water didn't bring the water out. Egypt brought the water that it was falling back into the sea. And they became so confused, they ran into the water, nothing we crossed her, they ran into the water. But the water said he would not bring water to them. They would bring themselves into the water. This is what is written. Yisrael said, "Kivadover Asher Zodu Alehem, Yisrael Shevishlei Bonisla." Yisrael, later on, he comes to Moshe and he says that he sees the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because in the pot, in the stew that they were cooking for Klal Yisrael, raised themselves up, sees the greatness and the exactness of the meat. So we see these two notes here. One here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remove the wheels of the chariots in order that they should be dragged with a heaviness through the bottom of the sea. Because this was the meter, this was the measure that defeated Klal Yisrael. They hardened their hearts towards the tzoras of Klal Yisrael. Secondly, nothing we crossed it. They ran into the water to be drowned, to be destroyed. They tried to fill the machines of Israel with water. Therefore, they would be filled with water. But in a way that it would not at all affect the promise that the Prophet made that he would ever bring a marble of blood into the entire world. So we understand these psukim, but even more so what we see from here is the great exactness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares for in the world. That nothing is lost. Whatever a person does is not lost. If it's an Aveda, not lost. And if it's a mitzvah, it's not lost. But 500 times the measure of what any mitzvah a person will do, any good word, a good act, a good thought, yes, I can.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.